The name of the story in our continuing series of Tales of the Baal Shem Tov, today's story is called Hirschel Tzig, or Hirschel the Goat. A strange name for a story, but it will be understood as the story unfolds. This story actually was related by the Baal Shem Tov himself and came down to us by the Friedrich Rebbe, and it is found in Sefer HaMaimorim Tovshin Tes. The Baal Shem Tov related that when he was 20 years old, he went with a group of the hidden tzaddikim to the city of Brody. Some of them went further. They passed by the city. They went through the city and passed by, while I, the Baal Shem Tov said, and one of my friends remained in the city. On the third day of our stay within the city, I stood in one of the marketplaces, and I was speaking with the people of the market, as was the custom of the Baal Shem Tov, to give cheer and courage and bring out how important was the service of even simple Jews, and to arouse within them the desire to say Tilim and to love each other with all their hearts. And so the Baal Shem Tov was doing those things which the Baal Shem Tov was known for, and which was related about in the past few stories which we were telling about the Derech HaBaal Shem before he became Nizgala, before the Baal Shem was revealed, how he would dress in clothing of a simple person so that he'd be able to freely mingle with the populace and encourage them in their Avodas Hashem, in their service of God, and tell them how important even an Ish Poshet is, how important even a simple person's service of Hashem is, and how dear it is to the Almighty. And as he's standing in the marketplace and speaking with the people there, the Baal Shem Tov went on to say, and suddenly I was totally flustered and taken aback by an individual who was passing by close to us. He was a treger, he was carrying packs on his back, bent over under his load. He had a sack of flour on his shoulders. His garments were torn. A very cheap type of wooden clogs on his feet. His cheeks were hollowed, eyes jutting out. His face was as white as whitewash, and wet with sweat. But the most important thing, and the thing that astounded me, was that I saw above his head a pillar of light, of spiritual light, emanating with a purity that up until this time I had never witnessed anything close to it. I looked at him very carefully, and I understood that this is truly a holy individual. The people there, when they saw him, so some of them said with a shtoch, in other words, needling him, Hirschel, trogizund, Hirschel, carry your load healthy. Others said, Hirschel Tzig Trogesund, Hirschel Goat, carry your load in a healthy manner. And he would respond to all of them, Zeit Gesund, be well. This was his response to all the people. I told my friends, my fellow hidden tzaddikim, Rabbi Cheskel and Rabbi Ephraim, that which I had seen, and they too did not know who this individual was. He wasn't part of our group, and we had no idea who this tzaddik or this holy individual was, that there should shine from above his head such holy rays of sanctity. I began asking around about him, and I found out that he's just one of the regular people who it's already 10 years since his wife passed away. He had two children who were learning in the yeshivas of the city, and they were of the nearby city, and they were sustained by the relatives of Herschel's wife who lived in that particular city. And he himself, Herschel, is a packer. He carries packages and sacks, and he makes a decent living from that. However, all of the money that he makes, or almost all of it, he gives for food for his four goats that he has, because he likes goat milk, and that is why he was known as Herschel the Milchike, or those who would make fun of him would call him Herschel Goat, Herschel the Goat, because he loved his goat so much. And he lives in one of the run-down shacks at the outskirts of the city. Baal Shem Tov says that I truly was intrigued by this individual. For many days, I kept an eye on him, and I couldn't figure him out. I didn't see what it was that brought about this great pillar of holiness that shone from him. He didn't seem to be a scholar. He seemed to be a very, very simple individual. And yet, contrary to everything that seemed so clear externally, that here you have a simple person before you, when looking at him, I would always see that pillar of light. Not being able to figure this out, this caused me great anguish. I prayed to Hashem, and I asked divine mercy that I be able to gather and understand who this person was, and I asked that from heaven there be revealed to me what merit did this person possibly have, a person that by all appearances appears to be one of the masses, and nothing special about him, that this individual, that wherever he goes, there should shine and illuminate from above his head such a fantastically bright and brilliant spiritual illumination, that even my elder friends, the tzaddikim, the elders, Rabbi Cheskel and Rabbi Ephraim, who were together with the Baal Shem to them, were in wonder at seeing such a great light. In fact, the Baal Shem Tov said, the light that shone above the head of Rab Herschel, who nobody could figure out, was similar to the horns of glory, the horns of light, or the pillars of light, which hovered above Moshe Rabbeinu. At that time, the Baal Shem Tov continued, in heaven, they already reckoned with my pain and my anguish. And so my prayers brought about its desired effect. And since I saw that although I had prayed, and unlike other times where my prayers would be answered, this time my prayers had yet to be answered, and I had yet to figure out Herschel and what was the secret behind his light, so I waited till after Shabbos. And I took upon myself a fast of 3 days and three nights with hafsokas, that means fasting during the day, and then eating at night, then fasting again, and eating only at night, fasting a day, and eating only at night for 3 days like that from the time of the Malava Malka, from the post-Shabbos meal. Tuesday, after Mincha, going out of the Hegdish, which was the place where passerbys would have a place to stay for free, as was the custom in Jewish communities. There was always a Hegdish, as it was known, a place which was open and free for all, where poor people could sleep over for a while and get free meals. And this was the place where we stay, that means the Baal Shem Tov, together with Rabbi Cheskel and Rabbi Ephraim, while they were in Brody, I met, as I was going out of the room, or out of the building, I met Rabbi Herschel, and I told him that I am hungry, very hungry, and my heart is, I'm feeling weak, and I would very much appreciate if I'd be able to drink now some goat milk. And I understand, and I heard, that it's possible to buy goat milk by him. The Pirshel answered me with joy that he's more than ready to give me a glass of goat milk, but he refuses to take any money, for he too is a Jew who is obligated to give from his bread and from all that he has to his fellow Jew. And he said to me, why don't you follow me to my house, and there I've got the milk, and I'll be more than happy to give you some milk. We went for quite a while, until we finally came to a side street, which was filled with mud and dirt. The houses there were without roofs or windows, and in one such churve, in one such destroyed house, in one such type of dwelling, there lived Reb Hirshel. And as soon as he opened the door of his house, the goats began to bleat and came close to him, and they licked his hands and feet, and they danced as goats do. The Pirshel took a vessel, milked the goats, and gave me a glass of milk, and I drank it. I davened Ma'ariv, and I remained in his house until the morning. The entire time that I remained there, the Pirshel was in very good spirits, and he told me that it's already 10 years that his wife had passed away, the woman who her entire life occupied herself in the mitzvah of visiting the ill, Bikur Cholim, of poor people who were ill, as well as Yildiz, ladies who had just given birth, and they were poor, and she would take care of them. In the days of his mourning for his wife, Hirshel's wife appeared to him in a dream and related to him all the great reward that she is receiving in heaven above for the mitzvah of visiting the sick and for taking care of the ladies who had just given birth. And many times she had heard from the stern preachers that after somebody passes away, that when you come to the world of truth, so the first part of justice is that there is the pain associated with the grave, and then a malach asks the person what is their name, and then other angels come, malach echabola, severe angels, and they bring the person to the place of judgment, and he is thrown, the soul is thrown in kaf hakela, in the punishment of the sling, as it is known, and only afterwards is the person brought to Gehenim. And so she says to Hirshel in her dream, she had heard many times that this is the Seder, this is the order of events that transpire with the soul after the person passes on. However, after she had passed away, and she was carried to the cemetery, and she was buried, and his children, her children said Kaddish, and the people there answered Amen, all the angels made a tumult with their saying, Amen, ken yehi rotzen, Amen, may it be so. And when they finished covering her with earth, one of the angels came and asked her name, and she answered that her name is Rachel Leah. They brought her to the place of judgment, and she saw over there many, many men and women, children, boys, girls, and she recognized them, that these are the sick individuals who she ceaselessly occupied herself in healing for 27 years from the time she was yet a young girl in her house of her father Daniel till the date of her death. And after that, she was immediately brought to Gan Eden. She was taken to Gan Eden. And she went on to tell her husband that in heaven they hold very dear he who performs an act of tzedakah with a Jewish man and woman. Then she went on to say, "Now you, Herschel, you are a simple man. You do not know how to learn Torah. So my advice to you is occupy yourself in healing sick people and Kimperton and the ladies who just gave birth and see to it that nobody knows about it." From that time on, Herschel told the Baal Shem Tov, "I purchase goats, I make sure they get the best type of food, and their milk I carry to sick individuals and to Yildesin, and to those ladies who just had babies, to heal them and to strengthen them. And God gives His blessing, His holy blessing, and they become well. And all the entire time, I only take, since that time that I started doing this, I keep only a drop for myself, because all my profits I give for the goats so that they have the best of food, that they be able to provide the best of milk. Last night," Herschel continued, "my wife came to me in a dream and said to me that if tomorrow you meet after mincha time and a poor man, and he will ask you something, take him to your house, give him some milk, tell him your entire secret, because through that person there will come an eternal Yeshua, an eternal salvation." Baal Shem Tov continued saying, "I remained in Brody for another month, and I looked closely at the service of Rabbi Herschel, and I saw that indeed he serves Hashem and he does his work of healing people with full and complete faith, doing it with every fiber of his being, totally ignoring all the stinging epithets that may be thrown at him, and he is totally immersed in the service of Avos Yisrael up to Mesiras Nefesh, totally self-sacrificially, and that was the reason why he merited to have such a wonderful and fantastic spiritual illumination that shined over his head. According to the instruction of the hidden tzaddik, Rabbi Ephraim Tzvi, who at that time was the leader of our group, who asked a shaila min hashamayim, he asked from heaven what we should do with Rabbi Herschel, and in response to that question, we had Rabbi Herschel enter into our group, and our chaver, our member, Rabbi Yoman Beinish, the carpenter, who lived in Brody, began to learn with Herschel, and within 2 years, he taught him the entire Tanakh, and for 3 years, they learned Mishnah and Gemara, and his mind opened up tremendously, and Herschel became a Torah giant. And he remained in his city in Brody another 5 years, elevating himself and becoming ever higher in Torah and in holiness in Chassidus. And according to a directive from heaven, he left Brody and he moved to Anapola, and with his prayers and with his Segulis, with the various things that he did, he was able to heal hundreds and thousands over 33 years. And he died in exile in the city of Astropolia. On the day of Herschel's demise, which was in Elul, Tov Kuf Chof Aleph, Astropolia had very, very bad weather. It was pouring rain, very strong winds, and very few were those who escorted the old man, the passerby, to his eternal rest. The man who had died in the Hegdish house, nobody knew that he was one of the very, very special tzaddikim nistorim. And it was only that before he passed away, he said that his name is Tzvi, the son of Rabbi Chilul Zalman, and that his father was a shamus in one of the shuls in Brody, and that he has two children, Rabbi Zil and Rabbi Gedalia, not even saying where they were found. In the Hever Chadisha, in the Holy Burial Society, and the city of Astropola, all the people, worthy people, scholars, took part of that, and the one of the people who headed it was named Rabbi Naftali Zev, an important personage in the city. A London, a Torah scholar, a rich individual, somebody who would give to all the various charities with an open hand, and when he was told that a old man, a passerby, passed away in the Hegdish, he sent many people to occupy themselves with his burial, and one of the Kavronim, one of the people that did the actual burying, said the Kaddish. All of us, the hidden tzaddikim and the holy assembly in the world of truth, as well as the souls of the cholim who Rab Tzvi helped and healed for 43 years, as well as all the myriads of angels that were created from his good deeds, we all went, said the Baal Shem Tov, to greet the neshama, the soul of the tzaddik Rab Tzvi. At that moment, a big tumult took place in heaven, and there was a complaint about the city of Astropola that they did not conduct themselves with the proper degree of honor with the tzaddik Rab Tzvi, and the prosecutors demanded harsh judgment on the head of the Hever Kadisha of Naftali Zev, as well as upon the members of the Hever Kadisha, the burial society, as well as upon the entire city. All of us, said the Baal Shem Tov, and Rab Chanina ben Doisa at our head prayed for the welfare and the well-being of the city of Astropolia, and we tried to find a defense against the prosecutors, but it did not help. And almost, it had reached the point where the heavenly celestial court had decided to bring about a harsh judgment as the prosecutors demanded. But all of a sudden, a proclamation arose and a sound was heard, make way for the soul of the wife of the tzaddik, the crown of the tzaddik, and there appeared the neshama of the tzitkonis rocholeya bas fegedvoshe of Rab Daniel, the God-fearing and righteous woman, and after her came thousands of neshamas and malochim who escorted her. When the prosecutors heard the hachroza, they heard the proclamation, and when they saw the great tumult that came about when the soul of the tzitkonis rocholeya appeared, their faces fell because they saw they would not succeed. The tzitkonis rocholeya began to present her case on behalf of the inhabitants of Astropola, saying that they couldn't have possibly known that an old man, close to 100 years old, dressed like a simple villager, and hiding himself, and making like a totally uncouth and unlearned individual, should be one of the tzaddikim. And on the contrary, they performed the mitzvah of tzedakah, as it should be. They took care of him, they sustained him, they gave him lodging, and in their eyes they took care of a very, very simple, unlettered man simply because he was a Jew. And if, God forbid, the inhabitants of Astropolia would be punished, this would act as a punishment for the soul of her husband, the tzaddik, that he, as a result of him, these Jews were punished. Her defense was entirely successful. The kitrug, the evil decree, the harsh decree was nullified, and the Jews of Astropolia lived on, not knowing that a decree had just been averted, and not knowing that they had merited to bury this great tzaddik, who was known to all as Hirschel Tzig for his selfless dedication for helping Jews, and in the merit of which he became part of the Chevraya Kadisha, part of the Holy Assembly, and became one of the greatest tzaddikim of that generation.